terrible things take place in war. There is the destruction of the body. Those that come back from that that are physically scarred for life, impairment takes place, missing of limbs and so forth. But there's also that those scars that are brought back from war. During World War I, shell shock, and watching some of the documentaries and reading some things and looking at it, a neurological condition that because of stress over and over and over again and worry and fear and fright, it implants in an individual uncontrollable emotions that they cannot control. Their body is not theirs anymore. PTSD, of course, has been identified in our times. And then sometimes it's just nothing more, these matters of war that bring back memories. I remember reading an excerpt from a memoir of a man that fought in France during World War I. And that was some of the most terrible battles that took place. He was an American. And on one cloudy day, the fighting was especially fierce, and they were seeking cover, and his group came into a small village, and behind a cottage he ran, and he was the only one that was there, and sat down, taking cover from the bullets that were flying over him, the mortars and so forth that was being cast down upon them. And then for some reason, it stopped. Just suddenly. And it was the first time in days that there had been silence. And not only that, but also for the first time in days, right where he was sitting, the clouds parted and a bright sunshine came down on him. And he looked over to his left as he sat there against that little cottage. And there was this beautiful small bed of lilies, bright and vibrant like he had never seen before. And it looked as though the sun was just making a beam, a spotlight on those lilies, and just how beautiful. And for just that moment, he had a respite from the ravages of war. And he reached over and he picked one of the lilies. And when he did, he realized why the lilies were so vibrant. They had grown on top of a dead body that had been killed in the war. And he brought that back, and it was his memory from the war, that in war there is nothing beautiful. There's nothing beautiful. Outcomes can be good, but there's nothing beautiful in war. I want to talk to you this morning about thoughts of a battle-hardened soldier that we have in Scripture and what he thought about. That's really recorded for us in Scripture. And we look at his situation to start with, and that, of course, is Paul, a battle-hardened soldier for the Lord. And we understand, no doubt, that he understood that he was in a war, that this was not something that was just superficial, not something that did not exist. But this was a war, and he makes mention of that when he writes those of Ephesus in the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 10 and going through verse 13, the first part of verse 13. And he tells them there, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God." And he gives that advice to those of Ephesus because he recognizes that we are in a war and they were in a war. And something he didn't dismiss throughout his life, that this is just a small conflict, that this is something of disagreement, that it's just thoughts that other people have in connection with God and so forth. No, it's a war. And he showed forth in this thought just how that war was being waged, that it was really beyond man. The influences of it was spiritual also and of high rank. So he had those thoughts. He had the thoughts certainly that he was in war. And there was no doubt that he was battle-tested. As a matter of fact, after he became a Christian, when we look in Acts the 9th chapter, verse 20 through 25, immediately he went out and began to preach the gospel of Christ Jesus. He could do this because he was founded in the Scriptures. And the events that took place helped make then an understanding of the application of those scriptures in connection with Christ Jesus. And he went out and he confounded the Jews that were there in Damascus. And because of that, he had to be let down the wall of the city of Damascus in order to escape with his life. He understood he was in a war. He withstood the antagonist whenever he went to the island of Cyprus. And we see Elymas, that is there in Acts the 13th chapter, that withstood the teaching of God to the proconsul, the governor of the area, Sergius Paulus. And he stood up and said, "O thou child of the devil, how will you withstand God?" And because of that, of course, Elymas was blind for a season, but he was involved in that fray. He was involved in that war. We see it again wherever he was stoned, left for dead in Lystra, as described to us in Acts 14, chapter verse 19 through 20. And he shows the character of his being a soldier, because when he got up, he went back into the city being left for dead. He debated the Judaizers in Acts 15 chapter with no small contention. When we look over in Acts 16th chapter, he was a soldier that also stood up for his civil rights. When he was thrown in prison and beaten, being a Roman citizen, and then was asked to come out and leave after they had found out that he was a Roman citizen, he said, "No, you have the magistrates come and invite us to leave and do it publicly." We see in Acts 17th chapter the fearless presentation as a soldier of Christ that he made before the idolaters of Athens. We see in Acts 21st chapter that he was taken captive in the city in Jerusalem, where he was raised up at the feet of Gamaliel. And understand that by his own brethren that they were against him, that he was afraid not only against those of unbelievers and idolaters, but also those that were his fellow countrymen. We see him exercising his civil rights once again in Acts 25th chapter, where he makes an appeal to Caesar, realizing that there was again a trap being set for him if he was sent back to Caesarea, sent back to Jerusalem from Caesarea. He made mention to Timothy of those that were against him. "Alexander the coppersmith has done me much harm," he told Timothy. "Watch out for him." He says, "I have fought against the beast at Ephesus," as he told those of Corinth in 1 Corinthians the 15th chapter. And then, as he tells them in 2 Corinthians the 11th chapter, verse 24 through 28, the things that he had gone through as a soldier for the Lord. And he says there, "Five times received, I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, save one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. At night, a night and a day, I was adrift at sea on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers among false brethren, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety, worry, care, and concern for all the churches." He was a battle-hardened soldier. And he lived that life day in and day out. And he recognized that he was in that fight. But he called on others also to make this stand. Even though it was a hard life, he called on them to make this stand. We look over in 1 Corinthians 16 chapter and verse 13. And Paul tells those of Corinth, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong." Make that stand. It's a hard life, but being the soldier of the Lord is the life that we must live. And we must make that stand. Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 1, to those of the churches of Galatia, he says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." Don't go back under the old law. He tells them that. Stand firm. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 15. "So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter," that which he received by inspiration. And he tells those of Corinth, "I did not receive my understanding, my revelation, my teaching from any man. I received it direct from the Lord." Make a stand then of those things. He had thoughts. His thoughts directed his actions that he passed on to others. His thoughts, though, were not subjective. They were not subjective at all. Matter of fact, he was not thinking in this way. the Greek word think dokeo, and I use it here from Matthew 3 and verse 9, that is to suppose, to think, to form an opinion. Wherever John says to those that were listening to him, he said, think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones that are lying around here to bring up children of Abraham. Think not, but think on things that are true. Not like this also, hyponeo, to suppose, surmise, to think, that is within oneself. John was finishing his course as recorded in Acts 13, chapter and verse 25, that is his life and his work. He said, what do you suppose that I am? I am not he. I'm not the Messiah. Don't think just because things are being done and said that I'm the one. He says, no, don't suppose that. And it's not the phroneo that we see in Romans the 12th chapter and verse 3, to be minded in a certain way. In other words, to have a fixed thought. And that in the negative. For I say, Paul says, Romans 12 and verse 3, through the grace that is given me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but as to think soberly, according as God has dealt to each man a measure of faith. And so his thinking was not subjective as in being a soldier of the Lord. His thinking was objective. What is it that I will do that the Lord would be pleasing? What is it that I am to do that the Lord has directed me? I will think that way. He had thoughts. And I want you to think, when we go and we look at this life of this battle-hardened soldier, we might say to ourselves, what would be his thoughts after all these things that have taken place to him in his life, in his teaching, make the stand, and so forth? Was he setting back each day, day in and day out, with the thoughts of, how am I going to catch the enemy off guard? I must plan my next battle. I must plan my next movement. And all that in connection with that which is negative. I must make plans to defeat the enemy. And certainly there were those thoughts there, but there was more than that with this battle-hardened soldier. And I think that when we think of those that are battle-hardened, you're making plans of destruction quite often upon the enemy. But I want you to note the thoughts of this battle-hardened soldier from the reading that we had this morning in Philippians. And we look at what he says in Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatsoever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Here's the battle-hardened soldier. And you look at the things that now he urges us to think about and urge those of Philippi that he was thinking about himself. And I want to break that down. I want to look at every aspect of thought of this battle-hardened soldier with you. It won't take long. We'll look at this together. First of all, finally, brothers, whatever is true. The word true there means true, loving the truth, speaking the truth, and being truthful. It's an action of progress. It is an active action that we are to involve ourselves in. Whatsoever is true, and whatsoever that is in us, in which we speak the truth and we are truthful by the loving truth that does exist. Here's the battle-hardened soldier. He says, look for truth, not deception. Look for truth. And make that part of your thinking, make that not only the part of your thinking as far as remembrance is concerned, but make it a part of your psyche. Make it just a part of what you are. And that is being truthful, because there is truth. There is absolutely truth that has been given to us by God's word. And he tells him, these are the thoughts of a battle-hardened soldier. Think on this. Think on truth. But not only that, whatever is honorable. And that comes from a Greek word that means the sense of gravity and dignity and of things as inviting reverence. He wasn't thinking again about that deception in which he could defeat the enemy and so forth. There were other thoughts he was thinking about. He was thinking about that which was straightforward and outward, that gravity, that dignity, and living a life that invited others to show honor to him. And that's the way that we are to be also. We're not to be underhanded in any way. We're not to make presentation of God's word in connection with polemics all the time, debate all the time. And especially not in connection with I'm right and you're wrong. It's God that is right. It's not us. And we live with that, we show forth that dignified life in that, that it doesn't matter what we think. God has the final say. He is authoritative. Think on those things. That's what the battle-hardened soldier says here. Think on things that are honorable, but not only that, also on things that are just. And that is that which is righteous and is observing divine laws. Finally, brothers, whatsoever or whatever is just. And sometimes justice may not fit things for us in our own mind. Maybe we've done something where justice is actually going to hurt us, but what do we choose? He says, think on justice and choose that which is right. It doesn't. The outcome really is going to be better in the end than it is if you use deception, if you use trickery. Always look to that which then is just and right. He says, the battle-hardened soldier says, think on that. Think on that. And he says, think about also whatever is pure, hagnos, sacred, pure from carnality, chaste, modest, pure from every fault, immaculate, and clean. And you think about it, there are those, and Paul even makes mention of that. You can take the purest thing that is in the world today, and there are those that have such a defiled mind that they will make it dirty somehow. They'll make it dirty. And he says, don't be that way. The battle-hardened soldier says, think about things that are pure, things that are sacred. And you know, if we're involved in anger, wrath, and malice that we talked about a few weeks ago, we're taking away from our time in which we think about those things that are pure. And we're filling our minds with things that are negative rather than those things that are positive. I'm not saying we don't make a stand for the Lord, but we do so even in that impurity. Impurity in that which is sacred and that which is immaculate and clean. And sometimes we might even have to say we're wrong in connection with that. And I'll tell you, he says, the battle-hardened soldier says, you think about those things that are pure. You think about that. But you also think about things that are lovely. Here's the battle-hardened soldier talking about things that are lovely. And I think quite often we may think back to movies that we've seen in the past, some of the war movies that are there, and we see the thinking of some of those as they are portrayed in those movies. Their thinking certainly is not lovely. Quite often they look just for that moment of escape. And they do so in gratification of the flesh. Many of them do it that way. But here he says, you think about what is lovely. That is adapted to excite love and to endear him who does such things. We live, then he says, battle-hardened soldiers say, live the lovely life. Live the life of love and that which is lovely. To show others the kindness. Part of the scripture that was read today from verse 5 of Philippians, the 4th chapter, let your moderation, your gentleness be made known to all men. I like Matthew Arnold's commentary on that. Let all men see your sweet reasonableness. How grand a thought that is. How grand a thought that is. And it goes along with that which is lovely, where not only we recognize what is lovely, but also we live the life so that we are recognized as lovely. And that, of course, in a spiritual way. And then whatever is commendable. Sounding well. Being gracious. Uttering words of good omen. Speaking auspiciously. Is our speech that way? By this battle-hardened soldier, he could have gone on and on and on about all those that had done him wrong. You know, it's really interesting to look wherever he makes mention of Alexander the coppersmith. He doesn't write to the congregation. It's in a personal letter. He does not call, if I'm correct in this, in my studies, he does not call the name of individuals to that have done him wrong to congregations. He writes personal letters and says, watch out for Alexander. Demas has forsaken me and so forth. And so if you look back and you look at that which is commendable, it is words that come forth that are gracious words. And the battle-hardened soldier says, be gracious in your speech. And I'll tell you, you look back at that listing that we just got through reading there in 2 Corinthians 11 chapter concerning all the things that he went through. If there was anyone that might have had the right to be cynical, it was Paul, and all things took place to him. No. You
make sure that you act commendably with graciousness, he says. And then he says, if there is, and that if there is not a question. If there is, no. If there is any excellence, if there is anything, as we're going to be seeing. But rather what that means is whatever else there is that is, all of these things, think on those things. Even things that I've not listed, Paul is saying, you think on those things. So whatever else is excellent, virtuous, the course of thought, moral goodness, moral excellence, purity in life, think on those things. The battle-hardened subject just says, come back to those basic thoughts that the Christian is to have. And not just look upon the negative that takes place in your life. And not only the excellence, but also anything that is worthy of praise, commendation, or praiseworthy. And I think sometimes we might miss opportunities in this to think of things that are praiseworthy. You know, we have some really good brethren in this congregation. And I want to make sure that whenever there is a lesson taught, I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about those invitations and so forth that is given to classes that are directed by those in the back, by those whenever I leave, that's going to be like this Wednesday. And so thank them. That is something that is praiseworthy, that there are soldiers for the Lord that are out there ready to do the Lord's work. And thank them. Recognize that which is praiseworthy among us. He says then, think about these things. And in opposition to those other words that we use that were suppositions and so forth and having our mindset maybe in the wrong and the negative and so forth, he uses a different Greek word here. To pass to one's account, to impute. You take in, you impute these things that are spiritual. You impute, you take in whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, and above that, anything that is excellent, and above that, anything that is praiseworthy, you impute that into your thought, into your mind, into your psyche. Vine says this, signify that word, logizomai, that is the word for think here, signifies to think upon a matter by way of taking account of its character. And I'll tell you, when we have this listing here, we have the presentation of the character of these things that this battle-hardened soldier was thinking about. That is nothing more than spiritual. That is nothing more than really out of love. How in the world could he do that? Because he kept his mind upon the goal of being a child of God and a worker for the Lord and a soldier in the Lord's army. As a soldier of the Lord, what are your thoughts? I ask each and every one of us to think about that this morning. What are our thoughts in being a Christian? Are we always negative? Are we always complaining? Is there always some sort of murmuring? And we think back about that and we may want to say, well, the only ones that murmured was Israel. No, they're not the only ones. It takes place today. But is that happening with you? Are you murmuring? As a child of God, are you murmuring about things? Are you also not thinking about these things as a soldier for the Lord? Because so many bad things have happened in your life. Are you not thinking about these things that really are the standout things that we put in our psyche of being a child of God, those positive things? I'll tell you, I've mentioned this to you before. A preacher that preaches nothing but negative things, every sermon that he preaches, he will, over time, discourage a congregation. And a preacher that preaches nothing but positive things and never mentions any negative things will, over time, weaken a congregation. And so there is to be a mix in that, but I wanted to make the contrast between this man of God that was a soldier for the Lord, that went through so much, that came back and said whatsoever is true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and whatever else is excellent, whatever else is praiseworthy, think on these things. I'll tell you, if he was able to do that, and he was,
That's what we must do also. We have such a good congregation here. We have a group that wants to serve the Lord. I think it's evident when we have our Bible studies and we have our classes going on in the back. People sign up for that. People sign up to take care of the building and the yard and prepare the Lord's Supper. And we see a work that is going on. And I'll tell you, there are congregations where that job is the preacher's. But I think that this congregation recognizes there's a work for every soldier that is here. And there are those that gladly join in that work. We are blessed. We are blessed. We're not ignorant of the fact of the wiles of the devil. We're not ignorant of that at all. We understand that we must keep on that armor of God and be protected at all times, but we do not let that make us cynical. We do not allow that. We think on these great and precious things that Paul mentions in Philippians 4 and verse 8. Let me ask you, is that what you're thinking about? Is that really not just thinking about it? Is it part of your mindset? Is it that you can't help it? And that's the way that it should be. If you've lost that, if you've slipped to the cynical side of this life, and I know it would be so easy to do with all the things that take place, come back to thinking the right way. Ask for the prayers of your brothers and sisters that are here that love you so much to support you and to lift you up so that you think about those things that are right and no longer just continue over those things that are wrong. Ask for the prayers. Be involved in the work. Maybe you're not working for the Lord the way that you should and you recognize that. Ask for the prayers of the saints. Ask for help in getting going once more. Ask that. Here we have the thoughts of this battle-hardened soldier. And in the midst of all the things that he went through, as a matter of fact, he was in prison at this time. And all the things that he went through, look at the things that he said to think about. What a blessing that we have this letter, isn't it? And these words from this battle-hardened soldier. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come. As we stand and sing. Blessed are